Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October the 30th, the day before Halloween, or the day before the wet season, depending on which way you want to look at it. 303rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the new spanking new?
No, not spanking.
Not spanking. Okay, well, he's a little worn in new.
Well, nobody said anything about a wet season starting at any point. So.
And the gullible now city manager of Sunny Fortuna, Regan Caldenero.
Candelario.
Candelario.
There you go.
All right, I'm not even going to put it on your business card, so I can do this phonetically. Can, like a can-do attitude.
That's me, Candelario.
And you went with it, too. This afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about where Regan came from, why he came here, what does he see in Fortuna, what does he see in Humboldt County, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's one of those get-to-know-him shows when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelario. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Fred Allen. Sometime between 1894 and 1956 said, quote, "What's on your mind, if you will allow the overstatement?" So that's, I guess, kind of a general way to break the ice, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're trying to say there.
The rumor mill has been ripe. That's all I'll
say.
We'll
see if I can get something out of this noggin for you.
There you go. So, Regan, I would imagine that you weren't drafted for this position, that somehow, some way, somebody made contact and said, we got a position here. It's been occupied by a fellow for a period of time. It's in this small little burg up the coast. Would you be interested? What happened?
Well, that's not exactly how things played out. I did actually seek the position myself. In our line of work, there's a few firms that typically recruit individuals for this level position, and some of us will take a look at those listings every now and then and see what's out there. And Fortuna looked intriguing to me. And it was definitely going to be a new challenge and new opportunity for me. So I threw my hat in the ring and took a shot. And, you know, their person said, well, yeah, you do have some skills. Let's bring you up here and take a look and see what they really are. And one thing led to the next, interview here, interview there. And, you know, I was given this opportunity and chose to take it.
What was your first impression of Fortuna? Did you fly in or drive?
I drove up.
Okay, so you're coming in from Southern Humboldt with all of the accoutrement associated. Mm-hmm. And I presume you took the first exit.
I actually spent a little bit of time driving around, wanted to see what was going on in town. And
so what was your gut telling you?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, fairly coastal. I mean, the whole Humboldt Bay area is pretty nice. I've always been a person that's lived in California, very fortunately, fairly close to the coast. You know, I grew up in the Bay Area. So I was in the East Bay, you know. Then I was down in where I went to school in Long Beach. So I spent a lot of time in Orange County, the majority of my career in government in Orange County. So I had, you know, Newport Beach, you know, 10 to 15 minutes away from me every day. So that was always nice. Then when we moved our family about six, almost 7 years ago now, we moved to San Luis Obispo. So again, very coastal and, you know, access to the beach. So, you know, this part of the state, maybe a little bit different climate, but still, you know, coastal California.
So what'd your bride think?
She wished that I had maybe consulted her a little bit more before I started throwing my hat different places. But she's happy about Fortuna, and she actually helped guide the decision to choose this location as one of the opportunities.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure, one of the concerns that most folks have dealing with senior management positions. You know, the hospitals deal with it on a pretty regular basis. Great, you land, and then here comes the bride, and
Well, she
just
came,
didn't quite fit the proper mold, and you know,
gonna,
and it's frustrating for everybody at that point.
You're going to try and get me in trouble early.
No,
on something
no, that, you know, you said already she loves the area, and that's grand.
Yeah, no, she came with me for my interview, so she got to see the city a little bit then, and she's excellent at research and taking a look at communities and what they have to offer, and you know, she's really the reason that we ended up moving to San Luis Obispo from Orange County. And so she took a good look at the area, and things that made sense for her and her business made sense here. So it's going to work.
So what's the most exciting thing about Fortuna?
Well, I don't know which way you're asking that. The most exciting thing about Fortuna for me is the opportunity to work, you know, in this organization and being the, you know, basically the leader of this organization, which is something that I really enjoy. I love working with people, with all the staff. I love working with the community. You know, the Chamber of Commerce has been an excellent partner of mine already, as well as a number of local businesses. Our FBID is very active and very popular in Fortuna. These are a couple of things that I was looking at as I made the decision to come up here, and it's rang true that they are a very active group and very responsible and committed to the community. And so that makes someone like me happy, because there's limited things that we can do as a local government and limited resources that we have. So having those good positive partnerships in town, you know, is a benefit to our city and the community that we have, the residents and businesses as well. So that's exciting to me, that, you know, my job is kind of moving the way I was hoping that it would. I think, I'm not sure if you were asking that or if you were asking what's exciting in Fortuna in terms of what are the, you know, amenities or what are the, you know, activities.
I had no preconceived notion on how you might answer it.
Well, you never know what you're going to get then.
Like I said, you just kind of give you a little rope here and see how far you run.
Hopefully not too far up the flagpole.
Is it unique, Regan, to have an active chamber, a Main Street, partnering with the cities? You mentioned that, and that's all we know. Do they become antagonistic sometimes?
Well, there's a lot of different models up and down the state. I've been, you know, active with a couple different groups, and we've always had a positive relationship and, you know, common goals. And so that's something you definitely need. And when it's not there, it makes things a little more difficult. So, you know, I'm fortunate that we do have a positive relationship.
It's 3:19.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelario.
There it is.
All right. Let me just get my things straight. Oh, boy.
It's a tough one.
No, it's not. I'm just a little tired. Fortuna City Manager, the new guy in town. So you guys came to town. You looked around a little bit. You felt comfortable enough with Fortuna. What point do you think it's going to be, Regan, before you go, okay, I kind of have a sense here. Mm-hmm. We kind of sort of know what's going on. Now we can go forth and conquer. How long does it take a new guy to figure that out?
Well, I'm not sure about all new guys, but I know for me it's going to take some time. And this is actually kind of a strategy of mine, is to take that time. I want to find out what's going on from a lot of different perspectives. I think it's important to have, you know, eyes and ears from all over the place giving you some history, because this town, obviously, in this county has a long history. And I have a very short history here.
You were talking about the inbred nature of it.
No. I need to
who married who, when, and how come? Yeah, okay.
I think I'm getting a little bit of that as well in terms of information, but maybe that's not as important as some of the other that.
Oh, just wait till you step in it. You'll realize.
I'm probably stepping really closely right now. But in terms of time, I think everybody needs a lot of time to figure that out. Find out who the movers and shakers are, and find out what the key issues are for the community, you know, not just necessarily for one section of the community, but for the entire community. That's the way I like to think as a local government official, is, you know, the entire city and, you know, maybe even the entire county, particularly here in Humboldt. A lot of the issues that face the whole county affect us locally. You know, so if you're going to be focused on one or two things, you might be missing the big thing that's very important to your community or that's going to have the most impact over the longer term. And again, as a local government official, I try not to think short term, you know, being a couple years or 5 years. You know, my city manager that I kind of grew up with and was, you know, providing a lot of mentoring for me was, you know, hey, we've been around here for over 100 years now. You know, and it's not our job to make sure we last another couple. We got to be providing these services for that 100-year perspective. And so let's not get too excited and let's not, you know, make some rash decisions. So anyway, so that's kind of what was taught to me by a city manager that actually had one of the longest tenures in the state. So that's kind of what I grew up with. So that's the way I try to think. It's difficult, especially in a local, you know, environment. You have a lot of input from a lot of different people.
Well, you know, and infrastructure is so sexy. Gotcha.
Well, yeah, that's nice. Okay, so I'm going to go straight into our wastewater treatment plan.
No, that's all right. Stay out of it, man. But it's interesting what people get excited about and what people don't get excited about. I can remember something, Dave Tooley. I don't know if you met Dave or not.
I don't know that I have.
City manager somewhere in the valley. The local guys can tell you what the city is. Madera, maybe? I don't know. Sidewalks. Sidewalks are your calling card for your community. If the gutters are overgrown, if the sidewalks are in ratty condition, it's tough to overcome because it's indicative of what you can't see. And it's always stuck in my head. That, boy, 20 years ago. It just is an interesting concept for me what folks who are in your position see as critical. A real simple, easy thing. Got it, dialed it in. Nobody else would have ever said sidewalks. And that's, for him, what the big deal was about the infrastructure.
Well, I can see where he's coming from. He's probably talking about more so the visual nature of your city. You know, if you have things that are out of place or that aren't getting taken care of, this is what the majority of citizens see. You know, and I've always been more of a community outreach person as my role for local government. So I understand that. I know that residents see that, you know, hey, the sidewalks might be cracked or this tree might be overgrown or I can't see this stop sign as I pull up to this corner. Those are the types of things that we as local government officials need to hear about and need to be on top of because, number one, those are public safety a lot of times. But number two, it's what people see when they come into your community and they want to know that they have a safe and comfortable environment and that's well taken care of and that people care about it. So when your parks look nice, you know, when your streets and your intersections look well, maintained and cared for, your stop signs aren't all bent up and half bent over. You know, this is what people see when they go around town and that makes them feel happy. And then when new visitors come in, they also get a sense that, you know, hey, maybe I can hang around here. Maybe I'll go grab a sandwich or, you know, do some other things in town while I'm here.
Yeah, it's almost a community pride thing.
It definitely community pride. But again, the other side of that we have to think about is, as local government official, like I was saying, our wastewater treatment plant, there's some things that people don't see and necessarily don't want to see. Really aren't sexy, as you mentioned earlier, with what's, you know, but it's something very important to the community. And again, with that long-term perspective, we can't have that working just for a couple of weeks or just the rest of this year. It needs to be there and be available and have capacity for, you know, the very long term, because, you know, that's our job.
Yeah, I think one's almost, I hate to say a canary, but like a canary in the mine shaft. If the sidewalks are dialed in, we can trust the things underneath are. If they're not, is that an indicator also that other things are in trouble?
Well, I don't know. That may be true in some cases.
Yeah, I presume consistency.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelario, Fortuna City Manager. It'll be there. It'll be next month.
You're getting closer.
It'll flow, baby. It'll flow. When you look at Fortuna's finances, I would imagine, Regan, that was one of the first things you asked about during the interview process. Can I have a copy of the current budget? And you took a look-see at it. What impression did you have with it?
Well, I did take a look at that document, and what I found was that a fairly stable community with a lot of history of conservative, conservative practices, you know, maintaining services within their means, not necessarily projecting more and hoping to get it, not necessarily agreeing to do X, Y, and Z and only having money for X and Y. Which is something that I think is a responsible thing to do and what all local governments should be doing. And so that's the type of environment that I wanted to be in.
So not like the state?
Not like the state of California. It's actually the exact opposite. Obviously, the city had to deal with some financial constraints this year, as well as about 440 other cities that had the loss of redevelopment. Thank you to the state that you just mentioned.
You're trying to connect me to the state? Gee, what a pal.
I'm not that mean. Yeah, okay. I won't do that. You had just mentioned the state of California, who's not actually on my list lately. Put a lot of difficulty on cities, staff-wise, time-wise, just a new learning curve to have to deal with dissolution of the redevelopment agency, which is, I'm sorry, what I probably should have made that clear from the beginning.
That was a biggie. I mean, everybody's talking about it, depending on however you want to frame the argument, basically money grab.
Right.
Okay. But for little guys, you know, the dinker dudes that live up here, cities, any dollar is a big one.
It really is. It's almost, in relationship to your size, to me it doesn't really matter whether you're a small city like, Fortuna, 12,000 population, or let's say a Santa Ana where I came from with 450,000 people. You know, that's still going to be a big hit because, you've been used to working with a program for a number of years and all of a sudden that program's gone. And in addition to just having that program gone, now what you have to do is come up with a new plan of how to actually make that program be gone, because the state didn't tell you how to do it. They just said, we're going to do it. And then, okay, as we go along here, we'll figure out how to do that with no direction, all kinds of conflicting information. So it's making things difficult on local governments to just address that and then, try and figure out, okay, what do we do now without this program? So it's almost three layers of difficulty that they've put on us, and and I don't want to disparage the state or their plans, but I don't know that they've actually gotten what they expected to get out of the dissolution of redevelopment agencies in terms of funding for their budget.
Well, that's a screwy thing I think that a lot of us see is, okay, so have the last five things that you've touched worked any better? Well, now why do you think number six here is going to be any different? I just, the concentration to the state level rather than the flattening out to the locals just seems to be screwy. And yet that's what they try to do with the realignment of the criminal justice system, which has just been working out magnificently. Don't you agree?
Well, and again, additional pressure from other governmental organizations makes it difficult at the local level, yes.
So what is the biggest challenge? Is it budgetary related, or is it trying to outthink the state?
Well, the budget is definitely a factor and something that we're very focused on at City Hall. But, trying to predict the future is never anything that's very fruitful. But when you're trying to predict what the state might be coming down with next, that's going to be very difficult for us at the local level. And we just know there's probably going to be more. So just trying to prepare for that and be prepared for the worst.
Since you came from for our definition, a huge city.
Mm-hmm.
Doing almost three times the size of the county.
The county, yes.
Okay. Does the California League of Cities have any juice at the state level at all? Because all we will hear from the guys here is, got together, they're lobbying, trying to make some impact. We don't hear, very rarely do we hear about successes. There's a certain sense of feeling of insulation from our electeds at the state level, that we don't see them that much, they're not around that much, that Sacramento is insulated and inoculated from localism. Does it change at the bigger cities at all?
I don't know that it changes too much depending on the size of the city, but I will comment that, you know, the League of California Cities has been an excellent advocate for us, whether you be a large city or a small city. They've enacted some nice changes at the state level. They've put forward some nice, I believe it was Prop 22 before the Dissolution of Redevelopment was an excellent document, ended up not really working out in the long run. But really, they make some nice efforts on our behalf. They're always looking out for local government, whether you be small or large.
What was that proposition, Regan, that was pulled back last minute? Was it like 1A, 2A, something like that during Schwarzenegger? That was, you won't touch local revenues or everything will be revenue neutral. Handshake deal, okay, we'll trust you. Whoops.
That's been done a couple times, that discussion, and the one I just referenced, Prop 22, was passed by the voters in California, basically protecting cities and redevelopment agencies. And then, of course, what ended up happening was, okay, well, it's protected, but now it's gone altogether, was the reply from the state, from the governor, which almost seemed like, and this was my thought, was that's just crazy talk. How that can't possibly happen. There's bonds, there's bondholders, there's debt, there's repayment schedules, there's projects in the work, there's, you know, all kinds of things going on. There's affordable housing requirements, there's all the different things that are associated with redevelopment that we agencies have been doing on a regular basis. And then to say that that's just not going to happen anymore, it's like, oh, you know, what do you do at the end of the term of your, you know, if you're in school, you say, you know, oh, all the rest of that work, we're just not doing it anymore. You know, we'll just skip it all. And that's basically what they were saying. Just get rid of redevelopment. You just don't do anything, which just isn't feasible. And so for that reason, I thought there's no way they could get rid of redevelopment, but they did. And now we're having to deal with all that backlog of information that's still there. We do need to address all of that. You can't just throw it away. And that's what's causing us the most grief and a lot of, you know, time and expense.
Yeah, the residual impacts, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, not my fault. KINS. Okay, maybe it was my fault. I'll take blame. It was my fault. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelario.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fortuna City Manager Regan Candelario. Regan, does the title feel comfortable yet?
Yeah.
I see. You're kind of reveling in it, aren't you? what do you see? I would imagine that most in public service have checklists. Because you're like us. I mean, there's not a tangible thing that I do during the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have the need for doing something that looks like I'm doing something. What are the top things on your checklist?
Well, are
you starting to form it yet?
It's interesting that you ask that. I could probably spend our whole segment on that, because that's something that I really enjoy is creating a list of objectives for the organization. So, you know, I won't go into all of that. But yes, putting together that list is very important. I've been working with my staff at City Hall on that. I'll be working with my council members directly to take a look at that. You know, I've got over 60 items right now in terms of a checklist of issues, main projects, and things that are priorities for the city. And of course, we have to whittle that down and decide, you know, what are those top items that we can focus the majority of our energy as an organization on those items and really achieve some success, because I do like to check things off and I want to get to that point. Well, that's one of the unique things about government and being in local government is that, you know, you're not just sitting here doing the same thing all day and checking it off. You've got, you know, public safety to deal with. You've got water and wastewater to deal with. You've got recreation to deal with, streets and transportation. So there's a lot of different things that we touch and that we're involved with. So You can definitely be distracted, but unless you come up with that good list and have a good sense of what the priorities are and what the community wants, you know, that'll help you, you guide you down through that list.
How are you going to avoid being insulated? And the work pile is going to be taller than you and I together. Okay, so you could work all day, all night, and not mm-hmm. never get out and still not get it done. How are you going to avoid getting sucked in to being insulated?
I'm not really sure what you mean by insulated, but I'm an outreach person. Like I said, I like my partnerships with the Chamber of Commerce, the other nonprofits and service clubs in town. Being out there, being an active part of what they're doing.
That would be Rotary Club, right?
On a day-to-day basis, you can get some exposure to all of those things and not get mired with all of those giant 60 items on your list.
You didn't respond yes to Rotary. I have to keep an evil eye on you, buddy, until you get sucked into Rotary.
Rotary is a wonderful organization.
Oh, yeah. No, it's too late to kiss up now. when you feel up stepping up to the majors, you can come up to the Eureka Club.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and really start the battle.
That's a nice invite.
Thanks for coming by. Hopefully it wasn't too bad for you.
No, well, I've enjoyed it.
We'll
Thank
see you,
you
next
very
month.
Much. Okay, yes.
All right. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Regan Candelario. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you tomorrow.